If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the one divine spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So if you're ready, let's take a deep breath and bring yourself present into this moment. Yes, those goosebumps are an evidence of you coming in and aligning with your physical body. That's the influx of the divine presence that is you. So tonight, our topic is being me and living free. So the price of freedom is learning to be true to yourself, first, last, and always. And the true self we're speaking of, let's call soul. And soul awareness is simply the state of inner and outer freedom. It's a very neutral place that accepts and cooperates with whatever is present as it uses all things to lovingly lift and uplift everyone and every situation. So let's do a little integration here. And just notice your body and what you're feeling as you come into resonance with tonight's seminar topic. You have always been free. You've always been a Jivan Mukta. What is a Jivan Mukta? It's a freed individual. An individualized soul that is free. Now, you've always been that. However, what we're doing on this spiritual journey is bringing all the other levels of our consciousness into congruent alignment and agreement with that. That's all we're doing. We're remembering, regathering, and re-putting ourselves back together in our original wholeness and holiness so that we can live free. We learn to live in the world but not be bound and entrapped in the world. And that's an acquired skill that comes through practice and observation and getting trapped and finding ways to extricate ourselves, and then paying attention to what it was that robbed us of our sense of freedom. Paying attention so that you don't fall into that same trap. You don't get snagged in that area again. And, you know, sometimes it takes quite a few tries before you finally get it. But that's what it means to have a spiritual practice. It's every day, every situation in which you find yourself, you move yourself into congruent alignment with yourself as a free spirit, as a free being, a free individualized soul consciousness. So, personally, I've been a Jivan Mukta since birth. I was born in that state. And yet, early on in my childhood, I developed a lack of self-confidence simply because no one else seemed to experience life like I did. no one else seemed to know or understand the things that I knew. And being a young child, I thought surely I must be mistaken. And so I looked around to see what I needed to do and be to win approval and to fit in and meet the expectations of those around me who were older and seemed to know. Because, you know, like every child, I wanted to be loved and accepted and to belong. So it was only in my 20s when I met my spiritual mentors that I realized that my original awareness and knowing actually came from that state of being a liberated soul. And several recent lifetimes as a self-realized yogi and guru. So I think I'm speaking to other people who can relate to what I'm saying. That's why you like my seminars. That's why you listen. Because I'm speaking to you who have already been the Lord, been born the Christ, carry Christ consciousness, have mastered the self in previous lifetimes, maybe like me have come in from recent lives as a yogi. Maybe, like me, this is your first time to be in a Western body, in the Western civilization, or at least maybe not for a long, long time. Have you been in the West? And why did we come? We came because we have to bring this message of the inherent divinity and freedom of soul that is the absolute right of every person. It may not necessarily be the timing for everyone to move consciously into that. But for those of you that are listening to me right now, it is. That's why you're listening. That's why I'm being guided to say what I'm being guided to say. So, it's to you I'm speaking. You who are the Jivan Muktas of this time. The word Jivan means a jivi. A jivi in Sanskrit means an individualized aspect of divinity. In the West, that's called usually a soul. Mukta means freedom. So a Jivan Mukta is a person who is free, an individual who has been liberated, has awakened. That freedom, that sense of freedom, and is able to carry that as a consistent state of consciousness in their daily life. Now, that's probably a lot easier, maybe, if you live in an ashram where there's a lot of reinforcement for this mindset, this worldview, this state. And so many of us have purposefully been born out of the monastic and the ashramic conditions of the East, so that we could be the externalization of the spiritual brothers and sisters of light, who are the liberated ones, who are the anointed ones, who are the Christ-conscious ones, who walk this earth and lift this entire dispensation into the golden age of Satya Yuga, the age of truth. That's why we're here. And that's why we have gone through this seeming like a gauntlet course in life that has been so battering and bruising. Every time we step out of alignment with our truth, bam, we get it. Because our life is not about being successful in a material way. It's not about being whatever label that you have perhaps wanted to apply to yourself. It's not about that. What it's really about is being yourself, your true divine self, living in a state of inner and outer freedom. And then you can do whatever you do. And whatever you do then becomes a blessing to everyone around you. And oddly enough, then success and everything else comes and sits in your lap, because you are manifesting the true self. And so that has support for you, since that is what is in alignment with your soul's purpose for this lifetime. So all of our work is cut out for us, because during our early lives, certainly for me in my first 20 years of life, there developed much false conditioning and habits that had to be cleared and released. And it was interesting, when I met my guru, Sai Baba, and was in his presence for my first interview, and he was asking everyone what they wanted, and the only thing I wanted was to merge into one with the divine. And when I said that, you know, I just basically wanted liberation, which to me meant not being here anymore. That's what I thought that meant at the time. And he seemed amused and told me instead to do work, any kind of work, selfless work. In other words, just be the presentation of that freedom of soul and do what you do. Do the dance of life. Don't make a big deal out of anything in this world. Don't accord importance to labels and achieving anything that's going to perish with the body. But do, indeed, cultivate those ethics of spirituality that create for you a ongoing, eternal aspect of the self that passes with you as you cross into the higher dimensions, whether it's through death or ascension or dimensional translocation or however you appear into the next higher manifestation of ongoing life. Begin to build, as it says in the scriptures, build your wealth, your sense of value, at the level where the moth and the rust can't corrupt it. Because everything you do out of a consciousness of loving light, love and light being the same thing, love, light, and God being the same vibration exactly, and your true self, when you act in that state, you build a higher level of existence that then assures your immortality consciously. As you move out of the body, you are building that bridge between what appears at this level, in this dimension, with that continuity that goes on and already exists in the higher levels. So there's a bridging action that takes place here, where you're translating the eternal into the temporal, and the temporal into the eternal, temporal meaning temporary or passing. And so in that way, you create immortality. And a person who has achieved, as Jesus the Christ has done, full mastery of the physical elemental, it literally becomes immortalized so that it is transfigured from that which is subject to corruption to that which can never be touched by corruption. And it's interesting, in the scriptures, there's a passage that said that the body of Jesus was impervious to corruption, that corruption could not touch it. That was in, I believe, the Old Testament. I don't remember where. But it's interesting because there was a foreshadowing of exactly the level of mastery that the Master Jesus was going to be importing and imparting as part of our heritage, our own spiritual heritage as his followers in this day and age. He was laying the groundwork for all of us to pass into a higher state of divine manifestation that has ever been attained and achieved in any previous time on this particular planet. So it's a very big deal, and this is a very important lifetime, because we're able to have this very uncommon dialogue over the airwaves. Who could imagine, even 20 years ago, that anyone could talk about these things in this manner and this openly over the airwaves? and actually have people who could understand and listen. And yet that was part of the prophecy that the Master Joel Kuhl, or DK, gave back in 20-something or other, through Alice Bailey, when he said that in the future, the teachings that had formerly been given in the sacred oral traditions and the secret oral traditions of the mystery schools would be taught openly over the airwaves. Of course, then he was thinking in terms probably of the radio. But now we have the internet, we have television, we have all of these different methods of communicating what had before been whispered in silence from the guru to well-tested and prepared initiates in the mystery schools. So here we are, mystery school initiates on planet Earth, having to live in the world and practice everything that we learned in those secret, sacred oral traditions. And the only reason you can understand anything I'm talking about is because it resonates as a knowing already within you. That's why you like to hear these things. That's why you listen. That's why you choose to prioritize this time that we spend together, because it's jiggling that combination lock of your consciousness and opening it to a new level of self-revelation and insight that's been waiting just to have that little catalytic boost that these words are providing for you. So the divine self that you truly are, beyond your human ego mind, is ever free. Your true spiritual identity remains totally unaffected, like your shadow, by any condition or situation that is occurring in the world. And as the Bhagavad Gita has taught us, water cannot drown it, neither can fire burn it, neither can it ever be subjected to birth or death. The self remains forever free. And that is what you can hang your spiritual hat on forever and always, because that's one of those eternal verities that doesn't change. And that's part of what we're doing here, is learning to discern between the permanent and the impermanent, and not develop attachment to things that are impermanent, temporary, and passing. And every single thing in the material world is just that. It is beginning to decay. The moment it is birthed in the world, it begins, as Sai Baba says, the march to the grave. And that's a very graphic reminder that we always, as Don Juan used to say to Carlos Castaneda, his apprentice, the shaman Don Juan always said, "You don't have time to waste. Your death is stalking you." So we need to be aware that our life is precious, and in the physical sense, it is very fleeting and very brief. Sai Baba said that the golden age is up to 20 to 30. That is the golden age. And that is, or let's say 20 to 33, I think it was. That is the time that we really need to prioritize awakening if we haven't done so already. Many of you that are 28, getting ready to go into 29, that's called the Saturn return, astrologically speaking. And in my experience, that was the year that everything major and important in my spiritual life seemed to all of a sudden come courting me, let's say. It found me. Your destiny finds you at that point, and my destiny found me. So if you're in that cycle, you may feel like you're really, really, really restless, because you know something very big is just looming on the horizon. Everything else has lost its luster, and you may be wondering if it's all over for you. It's funny how you could possibly feel that at 28, 29, but people do. So if any of you out there are in that position, That's probably why you're in that cycle when everything all of a sudden is going to open up for you, and your previous heritage of spiritual attainment may at that point very well find you wherever you are in your life and present in some manner for your awakening spiritually. We all have a major purpose for this incarnation. None of us are here to do daddly-dits. We're here to do big things. Those big things may be done within a relatively small arena of your life. Maybe it involves your family members or close personal associates, or maybe even your partner or a child or two or three. We're not talking here necessarily if you're going out and leading the next exodus to Mars, but we're talking about, as Mother Teresa would say, being great in little things that you do, the simple little things you do every day. Do it with greatness of heart, greatness of spirit, greatness of inner nobility. Bring your best to bear in whatever it is you're doing, and do it with all your heart for God, not for any other reason. Do it for God. Do it for humanity. Do it so that we can all awaken and find that we've never left the heart of God. So work, live, teach, talk, and express at the highest possible level you can. Do everything you can to live consistently in the vibration of love. When you're in the vibration of living love, you are in the light, which is living in God's holy thoughts. And light and love and God and your true divine self are one and the same frequency. So that's a very simple indicator of how you can move into that congruent state of being free while you're in the world. You always move to the loving response, the loving action. The most loving words you can choose to use, the most loving and uplifting action and behavior you can bring to bear in any situation in which you find yourself, that is your dharma. Your dharma is your soul's expression. It transcends karma, which is those areas which you haven't yet brought into your loving and your acceptance and your forgiveness. That is karma. But when you move into the dharma, you become the living love and the expression of God upon this earth and through your human form. So that's the idea and the ideal. I'm going to teach you another exercise of how to move your spiritual inner awareness. This is going to be a spiritual exercise. We could call it soul travel. But that kind of implies a separation which is misleading. So I think using the term moving your spiritual inner awareness into a specific state is much more an accurate description. So take a deep breath once again. Ask for the light to fill, surround, and protect, to guide, guard, reveal, and direct whatever would be for your highest good, to clear any conditioning, misunderstanding, or blocks in the consciousness that you no longer have to carry. Take a deep breath and release them into the love of the beloved right now. Deep breath. And let it go. Let it go into the beloved right now and see it dissolve into innocence and love and is placed back with you as your spiritual promise and inheritance, is placed back with you as a blessing, so that everything you do returns as a blessing when you've released it to the love that is. So now, gently park your attention in the center of your head. Don't force, don't scrunch up your forehead. Serene, quiet forehead, quiet eyelids, gently park between your ears and the center of your head. And coming towards you in your mind's eye is a glistening orb. We all know now that orbs are soul bodies and or Merkaba vehicles for higher consciousness. So let's assume that yours is an aspect of your own consciousness that's appearing to you as a beautiful, glistening, radiant orb of light. And it comes to rest in front of you and opens and invites you to enter. So go ahead and enter. If you feel more comfortable, you can visualize the one you most trust sitting in there waiting for you. It could be Sai Baba or Jesus or John Roger or John Morton or the Mahanta, anyone that you feel an absolute trust with. And, you know, if you don't feel like you need that, just know that those higher forces of light are always with you, and get in by yourself. Make it work for you. And as you get in this beautiful Merkaba orb of light, it gently begins to lift multidimensionally. And as it does, it incorporates all the levels of your consciousness and literally becomes an extension of your inner state, as your Merkaba actually is. It's so sensitive to every movement of your consciousness and nuance of your preference and your being and your state that I want you to bring into your feeling, your sense of being, what it feels like to you to be in a state of absolute freedom of soul. Go into it as deeply as you can. Try to, if you don't have a ready reference point, search your data bank of experience to a time when you really experienced freedom of soul. Maybe it was when you were with Sai Baba, or maybe during a peace awareness training with John Roger or John Morton. Maybe it was during an ECK conference, seminar, workshop. Maybe it was by yourself, meditation, or with your spiritual family and teacher. Yes, that's it. Move your awareness now into that feeling. What did it feel like? Some of you experienced that during the insight trainings. I know I sure did. And notice any corresponding feelings that you might be sensing in your physical body. Just note any sensations that come up for you. And anything that you can bring as a reference point to feeling absolutely free and connected with your true self. Now, your consciousness is registering all of that, and it's being reflected in your Merkaba, which is the externalization of your collective state of being. And now very gently, your glistening Merkaba orb of light is coming to rest in your ideal state. And we're going to count to three. And at the moment I say three, you will be in that state of absolute freedom, and you'll be aware of it. One, two, three. You're there. Now, some of you are feeling a real rush of goosebumps down over the top of your head as that higher aspect of yourself is integrating more fully. That's good. Notice it. Notice everything. With your inner vision, look around you, feel around you, smell around you, hear around you. Use all of your senses inwardly and intuit and register your state of inner freedom. If nothing shows up in particular, imagine it. Image it in. Put it there. You are a creator. Put it there. Visualize it there. Feel it there. Postulate it there. Say it's there. Think it's there. Many ways you can do it. Your intention rides it into manifestation. So you can intend it in. Intend it there. And we ask through the office of the Christ, the order of Melchizedek, the spiritual traveler, lineages of light and sound, and the avatar, Sai Baba, that this be anchored in your consciousness and adjusted, and the rest of you and all of your levels be integrated as nearly as possible into complete congruency with this new level of inner freedom. And we ask this in deepest love, keeping in mind your individual free will and destiny as a soul. Amen. Now you might want to jot down in your notes, this is me being free. And that will trigger this exercise later whenever you want to revisit it. And it will also trigger those sensations which will activate when you say that. This is me, being me and living free. And this can be a reference point now. And it gives you a really clear model for how you can move your spiritual inner awareness using this vehicle, this orb, this Merkaba. You can also just move yourself directly there without the visualization. Depends on where you are in your process. Some people do well with the visualization, and some people do better just moving and being there. It's all up to you. Find what works for you by experimenting. Try all different approaches until you find the ones that work for you. And don't get too attached to them either, because you will outgrow them. You will outgrow everything that you're in eventually, and you will need to relinquish it and move to something greater. That's going to be a constant for you, whether you're in this body physically or you're in another dimensional realm. We keep progressing in ongoing life. So now I want you to give some consideration to how your present life situation may not quite give you the same experience that you just had, and what in your physical life needs to come up to speed in terms of its vibration, in terms of your attitude and approach towards it. What needs a tweaking in your physical life to bring it more into that state of Jivan Mukti? And one more thing, I want you to always trust what you're shown. What shows up for you in these exercises, don't second guess yourself. Don't let your monkey mind get in there and monkey around with it. What shows up for you is what you need to see. You can absolutely trust that. This whole thing is wired for your success. The only one that gets in the way is the ego mind that always thinks it has the last and first and every word in between. And it doesn't. It doesn't have any word. It doesn't have anything to say to you at all. It's one of those things you're going to have to say bye-bye to at some point and learn to listen only to the voice for God, which is the Holy Spirit within you. So, just pay attention to everything you're feeling, experiencing, and what showed up for you. Was it something entirely unexpected? And what was the single most important element that you've attracted into your awareness in this exercise? And what does it have to tell you with regard to your freedom? Why are you being shown this particular thing? Yes, you know. You know exactly why. You know exactly why. You may not want to know why, but you know why. We always know why. We just pretend that we don't. So again, what would you need to do or adjust for this greater sense of freedom to be incorporated in your present life? Was it a simple inner shift that was indicated? Or do you need to make some real shifts in your outer approach to life in general? And did you notice a big difference between your inner ideal of freedom and your outer life and current experience of freedom? Where do you tend to get snagged? Do you sacrifice your individuality and the freedom to be yourself around certain individuals? This is a huge one. How many of us sell out just to keep that significant other in our life? You know, what are you making more important here? Kowtowing to somebody's ego or being loyal to the Lord God of your being? Why do you do that? Is that relationship worth sacrificing your personal right to be yourself? You know, you're not helping anyone by being deceitful. Deceit forfeits divine aid. So when you're living the deceit of trying to kiss up to someone for approval, you are enabling them to stay stuck in their ego. And all relationships are designed to help us walk each other home to God. That's what a relationship is for. We're walking each other home to God. And if they're used for anything else, you're wasting your time. So one major lesson we are probably all learning to some degree is not to bow down and worship the false god of opinion. Don't even be attached to your own opinions. They're going to change in the next 5 minutes. Do you know that every level of your consciousness has another point of view and another reference point and another opinion? Why do you keep adding other aspects to yourself? More labels, more separated things, you know, you have to factor in. So make peace with your present situation to the best degree that you possibly can Well, you find the lesson that it's come to teach you and the blessing it holds for you. If you look, you will locate the lesson and the blessing in every situation. And once you've done that, usually the situation shifts accordingly. And after you've learned the lesson, you're released from any remaining karma. So never leave a relationship or a job or any situation with a hardened heart or any trace of bitterness. Always forgive. Always bless. And move on so that you'll not attract a similar situation all over again. You know, when you don't forgive that first abusive spouse and bless them and pray for them and wish them well, you will attract another abusive spouse until, yes, you can see the face of God beyond the face of abuse. So what we don't forgive and release with our blessing, we will carry with us until we do. So do everything you possibly can to make your life work for you in positive and uplifting ways. And where that seems impossible, do all you possibly can do to shift your circumstances and improve your situation. And if you can, then you know it was a completed learning situation. And where you can't make any real change, make peace with it and bring as much love as you possibly can into it. It's amazing how a soft word will turn away wrath. It is amazing how a gentle response will turn away violence. It's amazing how if one remains silent and doesn't go into the argument has no place to go, and it dissipates. It's amazing how war would end on our planet overnight if all of us simply decided that war was obsolete and we weren't going to participate in it anymore. That's also a choice we can make. So the higher your rate of vibration, the more freedom and joy you will experience. Because again, light, love, God, your holy, true self, and freedom are all basically the same vibration. And when you live in loving relationship with all life, you also live in divine, joyous freedom. You know, your joy becomes so, you can just hardly contain it. It just bursts out of every pore. You're lit up like a, my mother would say, a tree full of owls. And every day is Christ Mass. Yeah, Christmas, the Christ Mass, the celebration of the Beloved. So to live in freedom, you need to release your feelings of being a victim of anything in this world. You'll need to learn how to tell yourself a new story and host new thoughts. There can't be any shift without a shifting in the way you think and see yourself and the things you tell yourself and others when you talk to them. So you'll also need to tell others a new story and choose new words to reframe your situation in a positive light. That's a real spiritual discipline. How can you say what you need to say in a positive framework? So appreciation means increase. It means adding value to something. So whatever we appreciate, we are demonstrating that we have accorded that value. And thus it increases in our life. That's why gratitude and appreciation are the real keys to living in the kingdom of heaven right now. Appreciation, according to Jesus in the Course of Miracles, is the greatest gift that we can give another human being. Appreciation, according them value, and increasing their worth in our own sight. So we will not add to our own happiness and freedom in any way by saddening others with our sad victim stories and thereby adding to their burden. Truly, you know, everyone has enough of their own challenges and burdens to cope with without you belaboring them with yours. Sai Baba and all masters always counsel that our major dharma is to be happy and do all we can to contribute to the happiness and well-being of others. We will never lack if our objective in life is to spread happiness and joy and good news. So that's how we can best take care of ourselves. You know, John Roger often says, take care of yourself so that you can then take care of others. And sometimes we think that means pampering ourselves physically or emotionally, and that's not what it means at all. We best take care of ourselves by keeping our soul, our spirit, well nourished, and by vibrating at the highest possible level of love, light, and happiness. That is truly taking care of yourself, staying centered and connected. Spiritually is the greatest way you can refuel, recharge, regenerate, heal, serve the world, and also take care of yourself. The Course of Miracles clearly teaches that only we deprive ourselves and that we alone decide what we would have real in our life's experience. There's just no lazy person's guide to self-mastery. It takes real devotion, dedication, and ongoing persistence in seeing the perfection in all persons and things, seeing that divinity. You know, they had a wonderful program on National Geographic on the channel, TV channel last night. It was called Brain Games. And I found it amazing because it was showing how the world we see outwardly is simply the brain presenting us with pictures from the past and interpretations based on those past experiences. Now, that's right out of the Course in Miracles. There's a lesson that says, I see nothing as it is. I see all the past. And then in that exercise, you look around the room and you look at your cup and you say, I see only the past in this. And, you know, you remember putting the cup to your lips and what it feels like. And you're sipping your tea or your coffee. So you're not really seeing the cup as what it is. A, you know, combination of water and sand and whatever else they put into the fire to make glass. You're not seeing that. You're not seeing atoms. You're not seeing the light of God, which is what it really is, the light and sound particles of the quantum universe. No, you're seeing your memory of what it feels like to pick up a cup and drink from it. So you see only the past in that cup. The same thing applies to people and situations and anything whatsoever. And as we apply that lesson, we're instructed not to accord any special difference to anything. Look at everything and say, I see only the past in this, whatever it is. And here is this brain game on television that was giving example after example after example of how that's so. How we don't see anything with our physical eyes, and there is no world apart from our interpretation. And that's right out of the Course of Miracles, too. So here we're having, finally, science beginning to catch up with what the mystics and the Lord Jesus, you know, who gave the Course of Miracles, of course, has been teaching forever. Isn't that amazing? I think you'll find it so very interesting because we don't even see colors. They showed, you know, how you don't see colors, you see interpretive associations that then your brain gives you the signal is such and such a color or such a thing. Isn't that amazing? And even the things that we notice, we only notice certain things within a certain range of vision. And probably 90% we don't even notice. And different people notice different things. Why? Because they want to. We see what we want to see. We see what we value seeing. And we're shown exactly the world that we've chosen to make real. That's rather irritating. But true. Not because I said so, but because that's what Jesus and Sai Baba and all the masters have taught us. And they ought to know. They're God realized. Well, pay attention to what you're seeing. And ask yourself, why have I chosen to see that? Ask yourself why you experience things and have accorded certain values and merits and demerits to the things you see. Soul awareness is neutral. Doesn't have an opinion or a stance or a polarized position that it has to uphold. That's all in the ego. The ego is the one that's got to have a last word and everything. It's got to, you know, polarize in some way and make another wrong and accord blame to somebody so it can be righteous in its own stance. That's all ego stuff. The soul is just happy and neutral and free. And it is just a joyful presence wherever it is. Breathes in and it breathes out and it does what it can to improve the lot and the happiness and the well-being and the life-enhancing quality of every place that it finds itself. It's so interesting. A person that is really aligned with the higher consciousness, you'll see it reflected in their outer circumstances. Their cars don't tend to break down. They take really good care of their cars. The cars are clean, tidy. Their living space, as humble as it may be in some cases, there's an order and a beauty to it. Their clothes don't look shabby. They can wear the same outfit for many, many years, and it never wears out. These are all evidences of positive electromagnetic energy that you carry in your aura. Because you keep importing that which is birthless and deathless, immortal, holy, whole, and pure into your frequency. And it has a way of touching to everything. What's interesting, I had many years ago many very beautiful statues. I used to paint them for the store that I worked for. And they were spiritual statues, you know, of sages and saints and Jesus and Mary and Cleopatra and Nefertiti, and they came alive, you know, as I painted them. And they had a radiance about them. One time I was going to be gone for several months. It was one of my trips to India. And I had a woman come over and house sit for me. And when I came back, and I was shocked because my statues were all dead and lifeless. They were chipped. They were dull. They had no more life in them. And I realized, wow, that's really interesting. I guess that person didn't realize that they had life in them and probably just treated them as statues or maybe had a very negative aura. So as you keep your aura at a very high rate of vibration, you'll find that you become a life-imparting spirit. You eventually will become like Jesus the Christ and able to call forth life from the dead. You will have the resurrection power that he had, both in your own regeneration of your own selves and being able to speak life in situations where people could have passed over. You will have many, many abilities that will develop from just or simply coming into more congruent alignment in every level of your being with your authentic self and living free. So do whatever you can to be loyal to yourself as soul. Don't be loyal to your emotions, your opinions, or those of others, or anything in this world that causes you to disregard the most important thing, which is to be loyal always to God. And we can't be false to ourselves or to anyone else and be loyal to God. It's a full commitment of the self and the life at all times that enables you to walk as a Jivan Mukta, as the living free, in the world, but untouched by the world, moving like a great ocean liner parting the waves, leaving a radiant wake, but unaffected by the passage. I hope that this has been helpful to you. Remember to be aware of those moments when you feel joy for no reason, a sense of freedom and expansiveness, when you're able to expand beyond the contraction of fear and negativity and reacting out of the lower self. Grow bigger than being petty. Grow beyond any tendency to contract. And you'll find that, indeed, you are being your true self and you are living free. Let's go out chanting, Anai, you. Deep breath. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Adonai.